Hello and welcome to the Hiring Enablement Podcast. My name is Gavin Spears, CEO of Solutions Driven, a global recruiting partner that guarantees right first-time hiring. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to balance the act of meeting candidate expectations, but also at the same time, getting positive hiring outcomes, which can be a challenge. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Damon Grothy. Damon brings over 20 years of experience in HR, corporate TA, staffing, workforce management. He served in many executive leadership roles, being responsible for over 800 million of workforce management programs, over 1,800 staffing supplier contracts, and also over thousands of positions managing across different categories and filling. And one success has been filling over 700 roles in a 14-month time frame, which is pretty impressive. Currently, Damon serves as the TA leader for McAllister, headquartered in Indianapolis. And his main responsibility is for developing and executing the organizational TA strategy and also delivering all requirements that the company needs. And also out with TA, he's the president of the Indiana Baseball League, which serves over 650 adult baseball players in central Indiana with 40 teams. So that sounds as big a responsibility as the TA responsibility. So Damon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Gavin. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I think we'll dive right in. I mean, I said today we're talking about, you know, how do we meet candidate expectations through a process, but also how do we ensure we're getting the right hiring outcomes? And maybe my first point to talk about would be, in your experience, how do you get that balance of meeting and exceeding candidate expectations, but also not compromising on the requirements of the hiring process?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because I think things have changed over time with candidates and expectations. And, I go back years and years ago when, you know, as we came up in this business, we were kind of trained to control the conversation as it related to the candidates, right? We shared certain information at certain times because that's what we needed to do to make sure we got the best outcomes. And, you know, when I look back on those times, I think about kind of how selfish that maybe was in the sense that, you know, it was a one-sided street, so to speak. And, you know, as you kind of fast forward to today, candidates have a completely different expectation of the process. And it's not so much a company-driven process as much as it is, this two-way street. So I think it's important that as we go through the process, we make sure that we keep that at the forefront, that candidates have expectations such as clear job descriptions. They want to know what the role actually entails and how it's going to impact their career and the longevity of their career. There are certain pieces in the process from a feedback standpoint that candidates expect. And as employers, it's our responsibility to make sure that we're providing that. So I just think that there's a two-way street that maybe wasn't always considered that I think is really prevalent in today's hiring.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we talk internally about who's driving the buying and the selling process through the interview process, right? And I think historically, you know, some organizations felt they were the complete buyer, you know, in the process. You know, I think there's been a move to we both play a part, but still, even though, you know, there's the candidate-driven market may have reduced slightly, I think your point is very valid. I think what candidates are looking for now is very different, and I think they still hold a lot of the cards, you know, through that process, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to say, you know, yea or nay at the end of the process. But how do you get the fine line between, you know, that the expectations of candidates that you've talked about, but also the non-negotiables from the client side, and really making sure that is, let's say, an effective interview process for both sides?
Yeah, I think the way that we really look at that is we want to identify what those potential deal breakers are for the process, mainly from the candidate's side. There could be some very important pieces that candidates are looking for. It could be flexibility. As in today's world, remote work, hybrid work, in-office work is a big topic. that could be a deal breaker for a candidate. We want to make sure that we identify that in the process, because that may be a non-negotiable for them. And it also may be a non-negotiable for the company that's hired too. So I think it's important to get those non-negotiables out there, and it could be a whole host of different items. It could be, you know, salary. It could be the hybrid working environment. It could be certain hot buttons that the candidates have as it relates to what would interest them in an opportunity. And I think we have to identify what those are. Just like they're looking to identify hot buttons for the company, it's our job to identify the hot buttons for the candidate as well. That's what makes it a two-way street. So,
and I think, again, really valid point. I mean, I believe that deal breakers become deal breakers if they're not identified early enough in the process. You know, and I think, you know, if you're absolutely right, I do think that more hiring teams could probably take a little bit more time up front to really validate, you know, why are we meeting this candidate when there's 30K above, you know, the salary range? Why are we meeting this candidate when they're looking for, you know, 5 days, you know, home office, et cetera, et cetera? Because, you know, the reality is everyone's expectations then start to increase through the process as well. And then, you know, the issues can happen. So what about, I mean, I guess taking that point a bit further, really you're alluding to getting those deal breakers up front, which is almost, you know, better communication, better clarity, better understanding. But how do you drive, you know, as a TA leader, how do you drive that effective communication through the hiring process?
Yeah, I think that it really starts with setting the expectations at the very beginning. You know, as we're having conversations with candidates, letting them know what they can expect in the process in terms of feedback, in terms of the timing, in terms of the interview process, how many interviews, if there's multiple that may take place, just so that we're setting the stage of what they can expect. I think that's really important, because it's then our job as the organization to then hold our end of the bargain up on that. That's where a company can lose credibility. If you are not holding your end of the bargain up when it comes to those expectations you set, here's our process. We're going to interview. We will provide feedback in X amount of time. Yeah. We as the organization better do that. And I think that's what helps a candidate at the end of the day make a decision whether it's an organization that they can see themselves working for. So I think that's really important from a credibility standpoint. And we have to, just from a communication piece, make sure we're holding our end of the bargain up. So,
yeah, spot on. You know, and again, I think some hiring teams could actually invest a little bit more time, you know, in really setting out that clear stall at the start of the process, you know, regularly communicating and being very clear, as you said, you know, on what's expected. I mean, I guess we've all got the horror stories of when things go wrong, but there's also positive stories, right? There's stories where, you know, challenging that expectation, getting clarity on that expectation of a candidate actually can turn into a better outcome for the candidate. Is there any examples of where defining that expectation up front has actually led to a better, you know, hiring outcome?
Yeah, I think that there's several of those that happen on the regular, but a couple that really come to mind are the ones that when a candidate isn't necessarily sure that they want to make a move, you get those passive candidates in the market that, you know, they're maybe just testing the waters a bit. But when they start to see the value and the proposition of potentially making a change and they can actually see themselves in the role and making an impact with the organization, I think that's when we've seen those candidates kind of really engage to the point of, okay, I can actually see myself making a move. And now every piece of communication we have with that candidate is so critical because they're on the fence, so to speak, any one thing can send them the other way, which is, you know, not engaging. So I think that's important. You know, one topic I do want to bring up that I think is really interesting as AI is coming into the market. You see more and more organizations using AI to automate communication with candidates, especially in volume. I think everyone has their opinions on that. And I think from my perspective, having that personal touch is always, I think, a key element to the communication with candidates. I think candidates want to hear from someone and know that they're not just a number. So just another piece that put value on.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of our discussions internally and with clients, you know, have been centered around the impact positively and negatively. And I recently seen something on a job ad at the end, which was, if you've got any questions, click here to speak to our bot, etc. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm not sure that's going to positively entice me to say, you know, I'm putting my career decisions in the hands of, you know, an AI robot. So, I mean, there's no doubt. I think there's real benefits on efficiency, on, you know, timely interactions. But I think no one can underestimate the human to human interaction, you know, through the hiring process. I mean, I think that maybe the last area I was keen just to talk about is, you know, in your experience, and you talked about, you know, the market's changed over the last 2-3 years, but what do you think are the key factors that help bridge that gap between candidate expectations to the organization's needs? Is there any kind of insights you could give on that?
Yeah, I think that the biggest change, kind of like how I started this, was, you know, it always seemed like a one-way street. I think it's definitely a two-way street. And I think there's value and skills and experience that candidates bring to organizations. There's also a value proposition and value that a company brings to that particular candidate from an experience standpoint. Maybe it's a new opportunity. Maybe it's gaining experience in a way that they've never had. So I think it's very important that there's a mutual respect on both the candidate and the company side. It's not a one-way street. I can't stress that enough, because I think we will lose out on great talent if we're discounting some of what a candidate can bring to an organization, or, you know, their past experiences. I think there's just tremendous value in that. So I think that mutual respect is what bridges that gap, if you will.
Yeah, super. Great insights. What about to close off? So, I mean, again, as I'd mentioned at the start, you've had a really good HR and TA career, but to the TA leaders that are listening, is there any advice or insights that you would share from your career that could be, you know, beneficial to other peers?
You know, there's so many that I can share. The one thing that I think I've kind of stuck a stake in the ground in my entire career, especially within the staffing, recruiting, the TA space, we're dealing with people, and you never know what a person might do. And so I've learned over the years that you can't assume anything as it relates to the conversations that we have. And I think that if you don't assume anything, then you'll just naturally ask the right questions along the way, which I think helps teams eliminate that surprise factor, or that element of surprise. No one likes a surprise in the hiring process. We don't like to get to the very end and realize that person was never committed to this role, to only have to start over. That cost the company time and money. So if I had to give any piece of advice, I would just say, don't assume anything in the process. And I think the teams that you all work with will just hopefully ask the right questions along the way, and that'll help mitigate that. So
pull it up. So assume nothing, confirm everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's funny when you talk about commitment. I mean, we internally, we talk about three levels of candidate engagement. So we talk about, first of all, it's about getting the candidate curious. It's about then getting them comfortable to talk to you, and then it's about getting commitment. And I think, we, you know, as you've said, without commitment, you've got nothing, you know. And it's about really, you know, making sure that you do ask the right questions, you do get that right engagement, you know, and get the commitment of hiring teams, but also, you know, candidates through the process. Damon, that was excellent. Really good overview of, in an area that I think is really important. I think, you know, in the environment we are in, even though in some markets there is a slight slowdown, candidates still have expectations. And I think what you're saying is, you know, the candidate is the buyer and the seller, and make sure that that is a two-way street. Make sure that if there are any deal breakers, they're flushed out early. Make sure that you're communicating well. Make sure you're, you know, clear on expectations, and make sure that you're bridging that gap as much as possible, you know, between candidate expectations and organization expectations. And I'm sure the listeners will have, you know, got a lot of insights and thoughts from today's discussion. So thanks to the listeners. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Please do feedback if you've got any specific topics that you would like me to talk and discuss in future episodes. And finally, thanks to Damon again for being part of the podcast, and great to speak to you.
Thank you so much, Gavin. And thanks to all of your listeners as well. And I hope you all have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Damon.